Okay, welcome to another Probing the Parsha Shir. Today we're going to talk about the message of Mara. So, Bnei Yisrael just crossed the Yam Suf. They see the Egyptians dead in the water, literally. They sing the song to Hashem, and they're ready to go. In Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Chav Beis, the Torah tells us, Vayasa Moshe Yisrael mi Yam Suf. The Moshe causes the Bnei Yisrael to travel from the Yam Suf, Vayetzu al Midbar Shur. They go to Midbar Shur. Vayelchu shloshes yamim b'midbar v'lo matzu mayim. They go for 3 days, and they cannot find water. Vayavo marasa, they come to Mara. V'lo yachlu lishtos mayim imara ki marim heim. They could not drink the water from Mara because it was bitter, hence the name Mara. Akin krashma Mara, that's why it's called Mara. I wonder what the name was beforehand, but we don't know. In any case, Vayilonu ha'am, amosheli mor mani. It was always Mara, okay. Vayilonu ha'am, amosheli mor mani shteh. And the people complain to Moshe, and they say, what can we drink? Vayitzak el Hashem, and he cries, and Moshe cries out to Hashem, Vayireu Hashem eitz, and Hashem showed him a piece of wood, Vayashlech el hamayim, and he throws it into the water, Vayim teku hamayim. And the water becomes sweet. Sham sam lo chok umishpat visham niso. So there he made for him a, it says, a fixed rule. Okay? Someone's talking. And then someone
By Yareu means he instructed him.
He instructed him.
Shom,
right.
There's no aleph in the word. Yeah. It's not a kid. It has to be an instruction. He gave him a botany class. Something like that.
Vayarehu. Okay.
It's similar because you show a way, you show the person the way, you show him how to dera.
Yeah. Okay. You show him, you teach him. You're showing him, you're teaching, instructing him. Okay. So then he makes a chok umishpat. Okay. There's a chok and mishpat, v'sham niso. And there he tested him. Vayomer. And God says, Im shamati shma l'kol Hashem l'kecha, if you listen to the voice of Hashem, your God, vayashar beinav taseh. And you do what is fitting in his eyes. Vazanta le mitzvosav, and you listen to his mitzvos. Vishamarta kol chukav, and you observe all of his statutes. Kol hamachla asher samti b'mitzrayim lo osim alecha. Any of the diseases that I place upon the Egyptians, I will not place upon you. Why? Ki ani Hashem rofecha, because I am Hashem, your healer. Okay? So my question that I want to address today is, what is the purpose of this mini journey? They had just crossed the Yam Suf, and the Torah says, "Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdo." They believe in Hashem and in Moshe. They have full faith after Kriyas Yam Suf. So what? So why? What's the purpose of this? Hashem's trying to teach them to have faith or to do them to observe the mitzvos. Don't they have full faith right after Kriyas Yam Suf? That's my question. So what are your thoughts?
After 3 days, no water, your emunah starts to go down.
Your emunah is supposed to go down. So what's the message? Drink? Like, what's the message? You should drink? Okay, so when people are suffering, they're not going to have emunah. Is that what? So you're saying the message to Bnei Yisrael is sometimes they're going to be really thirsty, and you're saying when they're suffering, then
so your emunah is not always the same in all situations.
Okay.
It's 3 days that Bnei Israel were disconnected from Hashem. Mm. So it is these 3 days that water really symbols Torah.
Yeah.
And 3 days they were out of it. They were without the.
In other words, you're saying that, right. In other words, what you're saying, Gila, is maybe that he wants to tell the Bnei Israel that the faith that they have maybe will not necessarily be long lasting if you don't constantly put effort into it.
Exactly.
Okay.
It shows before that Miriam with the women, they were all inspired.
Yeah.
And right away, it talks about that. So it means the men were completely disconnected for 3 days. Mm-hmm. That's why there is some mefarshim that are saying that's why we read the Torah 3 times a week, like Saturday, Monday, and Thursday. It's the 3 days.
Okay.
We good. We don't have to have a gap.
Okay. Good. I'm good.
Rabbi?
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, well, maybe what God has demonstrated to them is that he can perform miracles to do the big things, to save them from the Egyptians, to punish the Egyptians and all that. But now he's showing them that even for their personal, you know, for their personal needs, he's there too.
Okay. In other words, okay, good. So there's a lot to talk about this topic. I'm going to sort of give sort of two broad themes. I'm going to give three approaches, and you sort of suggested two of them in some of your answers. And there's one is to convey behavioral guidelines for the Bnei Israel who may have been lacking in faith. Okay, in other words, you got to teach them how to behave, even though they had full faith. Well, maybe you lose it a little bit. It's to convey perhaps how you have to tell them this is how you have to behave. Maybe it's to talk about divine providence and, you know, how Hashem relates. Now, it's not about their behavior, but to tell them how Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to Klal Yisrael, maybe in preparation for Mamad Har Sinai. And maybe there's a third approach. So let's go through each approach one by one. So one is, and this is how I framed it, but maybe you could frame it differently. But maybe we could look at it as Hashem wants to share with the Bnei Yisrael. So yes, they went through Kriyas Yapsuf, but it's not so clear that they had their Muna at that time, but did it remain? Because there's Rashi picks up on the word Vayasa Moshe. That doesn't say Vayisu Bnei Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael traveled. It says Vayasa Moshe. So Rashi points out, Hisi and Bal Karcha. Moshe forcibly caused them to travel. That the Egyptians adorned their horses with jewelry, and Bnei Israel were fishing them out of the sea. They said that, I guess, the spoils that the Bnei Israel got from the Yamsuf was more than what they took from Egypt, the Egyptians, when they left, because from all of the adornments on the horses. So after Yom Suf, unbelievable, they have complete faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they sing a song, but all of a sudden the gold comes, and the silver comes, and the precious jewels comes, and they're sort of focusing a little more on the gold and the silver than they are on God. And the Malbim points out, Vayasa Moshe Perishkal Shalo Ratsu more than that Lalechas Bisham Kiryam Hela Bacholyom Pigre Mitzrayim Valiam Klei Zav Ufnini Visam Balkarcha. So the Malbim points out the Egyptian corpses, the Egyptians themselves are wearing jewelry. So like they didn't want to leave. If we wait a little longer, we can get more gold, more jewels. So Moshe had to force them to leave. Vyesh Lobar. Maybe they didn't want to go to the desert. They wanted to basically set up shop, set up living quarters by the Red Sea. So the Moshe forces them to leave. So even right after Kriyas Yamsuf, we see how fleeting faith could be, especially if we take the position that maybe they weren't ready to leave. They left because they're in the 4th level of Tumah. So faith could be something that's very temporary. And so what happens? Bnei Yisrael rebel because they go 3 days without water, which, as Gila points out, Mechilta says, V'yachol shloshe shem yom bar v'lo matzumayim, darshe rishumos amur v'lo matzumayim, divra Torah shenim shalamayim. Torah is compared to water. And he brings a pasuk called tzabir l'chul labayim, and it was thirsty, should go to water. So they rebelled because they were away from God, from spirituality. It was water, physical, but also spiritual, and that's why we have the Nevi'im and the elders, prophets of the elders, made a takana that we read at least every 3 days. And Rashi then now with Vayirehu Hashem Eitz, Hashem showed or instructed, taught Moshe about a piece of wood. And then Sham Sam Lo Chok, Umishpat. So what's the chok of mishpat? So Rashi says, "B'mar nasulham mixas parsha shel Torah siyasku b'hem shavs paraduma v'dinim." According to Rashi, Moshe teaches them halacha. Moshe teaches them particular mitzvahs to teach them that what? The Torah sweetens their lives.
Maybe it's not a wood. Maybe it's eitz. Eitz chayim hilam.
Yeah. I'm going to mention that. Yeah, but that's, I think you can sort of say that certainly. The Torah is an eitz chayim hi. It can sweeten their lives.
The symbolic really piece of wood.
Yeah. Yes. So what Moshe is really telling them is that you could have this unbelievable spiritual experience by Kriyas Yamsuf, but if it's not fortified on a regular basis with Torah, with mitzvot, which is what he teaches them, so then you could lose that emunah. The emunah could be very short-lived. And I think he also wants to say then, more than that, that the Torah is, if you look at, like, how do we view our relationship with God? Do we view it as simply a king and a servant, or a master and a servant, that we obey because God said so? But it doesn't seem that way from the text. What does the text say? That if you observe the Torah and the mitzvos, that God says, I am your doctor. If you view the mitzvos, which Moshe teaches them, right, and God's the doctor and he's giving us mitzvos, so it's more than simply a master-servant relationship, it's a doctor-patient relationship. It's sort of a belief that the Torah is actually spiritually healthy for us. One second, let me finish this point. It gives us meaning in life. So I think the first approach, and I'll take your comment, Evan, is that I think that you could look at this whole episode in Mara is to warn the B'nai Israel, listen, you have us all this V'yamidu B'Hashem Moshe Avdo, but if it's not backed up by constant observance of mitzvos, that's what he shows them, then it's not going to be long-lasting. And in fact, the Torah is something which could be beneficial to you, like a doctor, because I have a doctor-patient relationship. Yes, Evan.
It's like when you say, Ovidu Malamu Malkeinu, he's our father and our ruler.
Right.
The father is from the relationship of a king.
Right. I mean, right, exactly. So, you know, this is actually probably a little bit different. The father, I think, is a... God is all these things. He's a father, he's a king, he's a spouse, and now he's a doctor. So I think that all of these relationships that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu teaches us about how we should relate to God and to his mitzvos. So I think specifically with the Rofecha, at least for me, Evan, personally for me, I look at Avinu as like, he will love us unconditionally. It's not about necessarily, like, I think you could look at it also as he's giving us stuff because he loves us. I think that's correct. When you view that, like, God is our doctor, so then, you, to me at least, it's even more that. It's like there is value to each mitzvah, makes us spiritually healthy.
The machalot were makot. They weren't like sick, in other words.
Yeah.
They were more makot than machalot.
Right, correct. So the second approach, it's about, in my view, I look at it in terms about how does God relate to Klal Yisrael. So Ibn Ezra makes the following point. He says, V'tama machla, what's the reason for this? Why does he call a machla shesavti b'mitzrayim lo osim alecha? So what does he say? He says that yesh lecha lizkor, you need to remember, ki beinecha reisa machla v'anigoy v'amachla shesavti b'mitzrayim v'avur shemardubi. He said the type of God that the B'nai Yisrael witnessed was a punishing God, was a God who just punishes those that don't listen to him. But wait, v'im tishma chuki timalei mehem, and if you listen to me, then you'll escape from these punishments. Shelo esel lecha kasher sis lahem. So one is simply, if you listen to my Torah and mitzvos, I won't punish you. But it's more than that. Va'od ki ani Hashem eyer rofecha mikol machla shegazarte liyosav al haaretz. I will heal you from any sickness that I decreed should be on the land. Ain lecha tzorech l'rofa, you don't need a doctor, kasher rafisi ha ripesi, sorry, hamayim arayim, just like I healed the bitter water, she'en yecholos barofim l'rafam, that doctors could not heal. And look what he says, v'hine davar mara hefech hamaka rishona. Mara is the exact opposite of the first plague. Ki meimei hayor hayu mitukim v'lo yecholish tos mehem. V'chan hamayim hamarim shebo mitukim. Because the waters of the Nile River were sweet, and they were not able to drink from them. And here, what's he doing? He's making bitter water sweet. In other words, Hashem does the first thing that Hashem does after the Egyptians are gone is he does the exact opposite of the first Makkah. So just like I'm a God who can punish. Like they think, oh, God's a scary God. All he does is punish those who disobey. But he's saying, I can do the exact opposite. But Hashem also adover v'hafcho. I can make the opposite. So okay, Yeshalchali Shaber Shalot Taber Bovla Hovo so who yeti vlach. Make sure you don't rebel against God. You should love Him because He will do good for you. That God is not simply someone who punishes, but God is someone who can sweeten our lives through reward. You know, it's not simply there's a neutral and God will strike down those who do bad, but God, if we do good, then He will reward us. And the I don't think I have it. Do I have it here? One second. So let's go. We'll go back to our Brabbanel in a second. The Chizkuni says. So what was this? It's interesting. So if we're talking about divine providence, there's an interesting machlokas between the Chizkuni and the Medrash. The Chizkuni says, like, why did Shem throw the wood in? Or why did he tell Moshe to throw the wood in? So he says, Avo pi shezel ya biad hakadosh baruch hu lahamtik below eitz. Darko lasos nisim keminaga olam. Shemtim davar matok l'toch davar mar. So the Chizkuni wants to say, it's the natural method to sweeten with something sweet. I guess the wood, I don't know why it was sweet, but it was something sweet.
Rabbi, I think Rashi says that the wood was bitter.
I understand.
Between bitter and bitter and
yeah.
Sweet.
Okay. So it's a machlokes, right. Rashi, right, the Mechilta is what Rashi cites. So I'm just saying, it's interesting machlokes, how far do you go with Hashem's miracle? The Chizkuni says that it was that Hashem, when he does miracles, he still does it in a natural way. So he put a piece of wood in. But the Mechilta says what you're saying, Gavin, which Rashi cites. Rashi Mechilta, Bore Kama Mufrashim Divrei Mufrasim, I'm sorry. Darche Kadosh Baruch Hu, Darche Basav Adam. See how separate the ways of God are from the ways of mankind. Basav Adam B'matok Marpe as Samar. That a person of flesh and blood heals the bitter with something sweet. Kadosh Baruch Hu marape esamar bemar. Kadosh Baruch Hu used something bitter to make something bitter sweet. Okay, so that's a miracle within a miracle. So that's an interesting debate in terms of the gods we see, to what extent we find God's providence when we do the mitzvos. Is it simply, okay, He'll do it in a natural way, or He'll go even above and beyond? And interestingly enough, what are the chok and the mishpat based on this? So the Barbanel says, he says, Vein safek sheteva midbar hahu chayav chisaron amayim. Vehem lo hayiruim leasos lebnes. There's no doubt that the nature of the desert, it was a lack of water, and they weren't fit to have a miracle happen to them. Veish befarshim shabru shabibnei ma shadibru kenegin Moshe alayam. Hamibli en kvarim. Havim akadosh baruch hu bimetsuka azos alamayim chatu. So what he said that some people say that this was a punishment. It was a sin because they said, "Aren't there kvarim in Egypt? Why did you bring us in the desert?" But then he says, "Vayosir nachon beinai." Seems to me, "Shemibnei shahaya kadosh baruch hu asi laseis lahem b'sinai Torah mitzvos." God's going to give to Bnei Yisrael Sinai Torah mitzvos. Hutzrach b'masos harishanos ha'el laviam b'tzaros u'mitzukos. And Hashem wanted to bring them into a desperate situation. So they pray in front of God. And He would fulfill their needs. And they would know that there is a God in Yisrael. He can cause water to flow from a rock. He could also bring forth bread. Because God can do anything. Uvzeigna limod moil shebetzar lahem. Limud moil, sorry, shebetzar lahem yishachrun yishachar yish yishachrun hu imatze lahem. So he says that basically in times of calamity that they will, God will find for them, you know, what they need. Hinei imkein ladricham bishlemos hamunos vadvekos imo yisparach trichim lekibula Torah, and therefore, for the purpose of clinging to teach them about emuna and faith, Hashem caused them this. Umneizel lo kibulu odesh klal divrehem. This wasn't a punishment, because, and then he says, so he starts off by saying that what God did for them was to teach them emuna and faith, to tell them that when they do what they should do, God can bring about, he can bring them bread and water. He can take care of their needs. So now he explains, so what's the chok, what's the mishpat, what's the nes? They right, v'sham nisahu, the nisayon. Hanachon hu, sham sam lo Hashem yisparach, the Yisrael, v'limdo das torani amiti, shehayachok. So first God taught them the true Torah, which is a chok, bercham, lefi shelo hayu masig mes tamo. So the chok is what they may not know the reason. V'hu shevotech b'Hashem yisugav, v'shevachol kvar melav yishama kel v'yaneim v'yasei mahem nisim niflos. So what's the chok? What do you teach them about the chok? The chok is to teach us that we just have to do the mitzvos. We may not know the reason, but if we do these mitzvos, we have faith that God will listen to us, and He will do for us nisim v'niflos, miracles. Ki zehu achok. So this is the chok, and this is something which is hidden, and this is something that they saw when it comes to the bitter water that God sweetened with the tefillah Moshe. In other words, according to the Bravadel, it's the principle, the chok is the principle of divine providence from our perspective. And this is a judgment for God, l'shanos hatvayim b'tfilas chasidav, to change nature by the prayer of His pious ones, latzil mimavis nafsham, to save them from death, u'lachayosam barav, and to make them live in a state of famine, you know, when they're in a state of famine. V'sham nisa, what does it mean v'sham nisa? Rotzalomar, sh'sham hizchash baruch hu lasos nisim im Yisrael b'midbar. That's where Hashem started to perform miracles with Klal Yisrael of the desert. The other miracles that God did were to punish the Egyptians. Of them, last speak tzarcham sheyisrael b'midbar, but to provide the need for the needs of Klal Yisrael on the desert. So he's showing them miracles. So the way that Bravadel explains Chok and Mishpat is that he's showing his ways, schar va'onesh, that divine providence. That if we do the mitzvos, so that'll be a chok. We may not understand the mitzvah. We never understand how it works, but it's unknown to us. But God, the reason might be unknown to us, but God will perform miracles for us. He'll take care of our needs. But it's a mishpat to God. God understands it. Now, there's a chok is from our perspective. The mishpat is from God's perspective, right? That's based on Tehillim, Perek Pei Aleph, Pasuk Hei, which says, Ki chok li Yisrael hu, mishpat l'lokei Yaakov. For us, it's a chok. We don't understand how it works. But it's a mishpat, okay, Yaakov, God understands how it works. So in other words, the second approach, it's not to teach us the lesson that emuna could be fleeting and temporary, but it's to prepare us for Mamad Har Sinai. It's to prepare us for Hashem giving us the Torah, and to tell us that Kadosh Baruch Hu not only is a punishing God, but in fact, if we observe the Torah, then there will be divine providence, and there is a system of reward and punishment. Before Hashem gives us the mitzvos, the commandments, we first have to internalize that there's a system of reward and punishment, and that's the goal of Mara. Okay? But perhaps there's a third approach. So I gave, again, we can further, I guess, divvy up some of these approaches, but I was trying to, again, try to share two basic approaches. One is to teach Klal Yisrael about Emunah, and the second is to teach Klal Yisrael about Tzchar V'Odesh. But there is a third approach. It's not for Klal Yisrael, but it's for subsequent generations. The Hamik Davar says the following. Vayorehu Hashem Eitz. Ratza Kadosh Baruch Hu lahargilo be'esek parnasa ledoros. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach us what it, to get regarding parnasa ledoros, our substance, our sustenance, our parnasa that we're going to earn. Shelo yehe libo namog kolkach kashiro machzer beso. Don't feel so down if you open and your cupboard is bare and you have nothing in your house. V'zeh nikra nisayon l'man anoscha l'man nasoscha le'tivcha bachrisecha. That sometimes it's a nisayon, not in terms of a nes, a miracle, but it's a nisayon, it's a test for us. Hashem gave us a chok mishpat v'shem nisayon. This is a test that sometimes we're get, subsequent generations are going to find themselves like Bnei Yisrael at Mara. Hashem did not have to teach that generation that about God's divine providence. They witness all these miracles. They know that when God says something, He's going to punish or reward, because God is, he did things in a very direct way, cause and effect. But for later generations that would not perceive God's hashkacha that much. Nitzrach lelamdam. We need to teach them. Asher yeh mikomakom libo nachon batuach. To teach them that they would have a proper heart, a secure heart. Asher berega achron yachish Hashem etza shel yobos baravatzavah. Kadosh Baruch Hu, have faith in Hashem. Hashem will not cause us to die in famine or in thirst. That by Mara, at the very last moment, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought us a tree that sweetened it. In other words, perhaps when in later generations, when we're suffering and things are bad, and we think there's no hope, we read the story of Mara, and we realize that things could be very desperate, but have faith in our Kadosh Baruch Hu that, God willing, you know, with the right tefillos, again, does it always work, does it not? We can debate that point. But the point is that don't give up on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Mara stands for the position that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can perform miracles like he did for Mara. So three different approaches is what the goal of Mara is. Is it to tell us that for our faith to be sustained, it could be fleeting? And we saw that it was fleeting. They left for 3 days, they started grumbling. And they need Torah, to constant study of Torah to reinforce that faith. Number two, tell us, prepare us for Matan Torah. Teach us about Tzchar V'Onesh, reward and punishment. Not just punishment, but reward and punishment. And number three, that's not for that generation, but it's for us reading it later. And nowadays, that we find difficult times, we think of the star in Mara, and God willing, we'll have faith that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, hopefully, God willing, will be there to assist us.
Thank you.